We were just trying to find a spot to break in on the song. We just didn't want it to end. Welcome back. This is Coast to Coast AM. Sitting in for George and Nori tonight. It is a Friday. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Now, like I just mentioned, our guest tonight, Lorcan O'Toole. Got some really good questions coming in on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, at JChurchRadio. That's what you want to do. Any questions or comments, post them there. And if they're good, I'll read them on the air. I'll be right back. More with Lorcan O'Toole. This is Coast to Coast AM. All right, welcome back to Coast AM, sitting in for George Norrie tonight. I am your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest tonight, Lorcan O'Toole. Now, we're taking a walk through his life's journey, seeking answers. Yes, he went through Hollywood and an acting career, but he left it all behind and has been going around the world shooting, filming, interviewing, questioning everybody about what is really going on with this world of ours. And a couple of weeks ago, we were together, 3 weeks ago, and Lorcan had a Bigfoot Sasquatch sighting at about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. And we just recounted all of that. But my question before the break to Lorcan was, have you talked to your family about this? Anybody that you know that you would never share this with? And 3 days ago, he told his mom. Now, you started to tell us what happened with your mom in Malibu. So let's pick it up right there.
Absolutely. My dear mommy, hello, mom. She's known about what's been going on with me since I had my awakening. And she's been very, very open and very, very supportive. And there's lots of synchronicities and little bits of information, psychic stuff that's come through me for her, to a point where she feels very open about it. Yet the idea, for some reason, despite all that, of telling my mother about this particular sighting had a lot more weight to it for some reason. So I spoke to her and I told her. She was a little shocked at first, but then extremely open and curious. And she went to see a very powerful psychic in Malibu, who lots of the top stars and people go to. And she asked about me, and the being actually came through. The psychic told her that the information that was coming through me and the light that was coming through for the world was very, very beautiful and powerful, and that it was authentic. And she came to me and told me that with this massive smile and tears in her eyes. And it was such a beautiful thing for me to see my mother fully open and accepting and curious of these things. And for me, that was a big thing in my own journey as well, for my mom to accept what I've already accepted.
It doesn't get any better than that, Lorcan. It does not. Now, have you been able to try to figure out if it was talking to you, you know, what the woof, woof, woof? You've had 3 weeks to try to figure all of this out. What do you think has been going on?
Well, Jimmy, I've got huge chills in my neck right now as you say that. So as I mentioned before, in 2012, I encountered a number of different channelers and mediums. And now in my regular life, a lot of my dear friends are actually channelers and mediums. I went to see a number of them who I would put my life on their information. They've given me so much incredibly insightful psychic information from everyday life to galactic beings, things that have been confirmed that have happened the next day that I'm 100% sure about the information. It doesn't matter for other people. What I'm about to tell you, it does not matter, but all that matters is if any of it resonates with you. For I have, I think, potentially some groundbreaking information that's come through, and I'd like to begin if I could. What I've been told, Jimmy, is a confirmation that it was indeed the Sasquatch. Secondly, that I've had, and many other people have, had a lot more contact with the Sasquatch than they might recognize, and not always in a physical way. Dream states, altered states of consciousness through meditation, etc. The Sasquatch do not live primarily in the third dimension. It is not where they make their dominant home. When one is seen, for example, by a human being, it is either that the Sasquatch has moved momentarily into third dimensional reality,
right,
for the purposes of the understanding of it, and also the understanding that there is life outside of what we call third dimensional reality. Also, that the human being or human beings in this case have entered into the higher frequency realities where the Sasquatch makes its home. And it could also be, of course, a meeting in the middle, so to speak. So whenever there is a sighting by anyone, there has always been a dominant shift in dimension by someone or something. The Sasquatch are also off-planetary beings and part of the collective of off-planetary beings as well, and it is wanted to be understood that they are also involved in this way. They have a particular message, Jimmy, to present to mankind, and this is extraordinary stuff. They're very well aware of themselves as a collective. They know they are known by human beings as Bigfoot or Sasquatches, but to them, they have a highly developed sense of themselves as singular, as a unified collective, a unity. You cannot have a collective, certainly in English, called Sasquatches. And here is the information I'm very excited to bring forth.
Go.
They call themselves the Tolatan.
Spell it.
That is T-O-L-T-A-N. Tolatan. That is the name of the collective that they go by.
Interesting.
And the message that they have, which feels like a base or simple idea to them, they feel is very important for us to try to integrate. The transformation of physical energy, physical particles, through energies of dimension is very, very possible. And scientists and humanity are starting to recognize and understand that your molecules and particles are stepping into other dimensions and then stepping back over and over and over again. And this is the only thing that they're doing. So when somebody has a sighting, for example, of Sasquatch, Tolatan being, galactic being, what is happening? This is done to let individuals know that this shift with molecules and particles is happening, and that the molecules are doing this. And the Tolatan are extremely playful, trickster-like beings. They love having a laugh. They love knocking on people's windows and throwing stones at tents, and love stepping into the 3D and playing and giving a little wink to humanity, like you were saying earlier, Jimmy, to say, here I am.
Right.
Catch me if you can.
Right.
It's a bit of a rascal energy. And what they want us to know is that there is connection biologically between the Tolatan and humanity, genetically. So you are witnessing family on a certain level, though much removed. These beings are also aware that size, in terms of physicality, does not matter in terms of making a big impact. And they want to reference the cicada as a small little being that can have a huge impact. So what they're saying was is that it's nothing to do with how well you can be seen, your size, how much noise you can make, how you can stand in your presence and shift shape and dimension simply by being in your presence.
Right, right.
Now, this is the other part, the communication, the woo, woo, woo. This is really beautiful, Jimmy. There is a translation for it, and it is so universal, it moved me to deep tears when I heard it.
How did you get, before you tell us the translation, how did you get the translation?
Well, the translation, as I prefaced before, I've spoken to a number of my very dear friends and trusted mediums and channelers.
Gotcha.
To ask them about this. And this
gotcha.
Is the information that came through a number of them that I've synthesized together. It's extremely accurate based on what I got from all of them. It's fascinating. So listen to this. No matter where I got the information coming from, I want you to know whether this resonates with you or not. The translation of the woo, woo, woo is the movement of sound. And that sound is moved from the solar plexus, from the diaphragm, woo, through the tongue, and it's a guttural push. And much of the technology on the planet right now on Earth makes the same sound and movement. A large bladed fan or a helicopter, how engines combust, combines turn.
Sure.
The movement of making this sound is circular. So the movement of this sound will be able to be, and this is fascinating to any mathematicians and scientists out there, the movement of this sound, because it's circular, will be able to be translated by mathematics.
Got you. I got you. I got you. I got you. I'm feeling you. I'm resonating.
Okay.
Yeah, continue.
So it is a circle, a connection, a whole, in essence, stating the name, this being, of the all. Like one might chant the Om, Jimmy.
Right, right, right.
As the symbol of the universal sound.
Right.
Om, woom, woom.
Right, right.
So the Tolatan, being used as a circular sound, a universal sound. This is where it gets beautiful. Something that shows up in human beings' third-dimensional reality extremely frequently. Woo, woo, a swinging a rope around your head, in machines,
right,
in the birthing of a child,
yep,
in making love, in being in pain, being in pleasure. And even if you amplify, and they wanted to say this, the sound of knitting needles, it would make the same sound.
Interesting.
So what it is, it's a constant sound communication can be applied to galactic beings, to nature, to the unseen realms. The cycle after cycle after cycle of life, woo, woo, and the communication of the cycle and the universal sound of the planet Earth itself. Now, the gentleman earlier, Mark, I believe, asked me whether I'm religious. No, I'm not. But what the being said to me in terms of what the translation of Om is God, 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 because God contains the Om in its sound. And when we say God, we don't mean a man with a beard. We mean the Om, the universal sound frequency of all things. And that was the communication that was offered to me and to many other beings that I've come across. And that is the information they wanted to bring to you this evening and all the people who are listening.
Well, before I say thank you for that, I'll say thank you. But what's interesting here is I had asked you earlier if you thought that it was a warning or if it was a hello or if it was just an acknowledgement of I'm here. I'm letting you know that I am here. And it's almost could be all three things.
It was not a warning in any way, shape or form whatsoever.
Okay.
The beings were very well aware that my physical body would be in fear.
Right.
And it was a particular experience. I wasn't looking at it during the daytime while I was having a cup of tea.
Right.
This was, you know, it was an initiation of my own levels of fear, a very particular experience, done in a certain manner, which was, from my senses, perfect for my own psychology.
Right.
And many other different layered factors, almost extremely layered in its dance, in its coordination, the entire experience.
Well, the reason why I say warning, because if it hadn't have done the first set of woo-woo-woos, you might have bumped into each other. Right?
I may have.
Right.
But I might have walked right through it.
Right through them, which is my next question. This dimensional situation coming in and out of a dimension.
Yes.
Does that mean it is a physical being while it is here in this dimension? Because it apparently does leave footprints.
It has the ability to physicalize itself into third dimension.
Right.
I think if it's leaving prints, it would do it on purpose, I think, most of the time.
Right.
I don't know, unless it was going out to the pub and it, you know, made a mistake and, you know, it left a few train tracks on the way. But I think that they're very careful, very choosy, very particular about the way and if or not they show themselves, because they have an ability to, as they exist in other frequencies, if they don't want to be seen, they won't be seen.
Well, and it was also breaking, you know, twigs out there, not twigs, you know, sticks.
Which was its first initial way to let us know of its presence.
Right, right. And now, what do you think about the elusive side of things? You know, why you? Why is it elusive to everybody else, and why you that night?
First of all, it is not just Lorcan. I would say 9 to 10 people on the ranch have all had just as clear sightings, some during the day. Many people on the ranch have had these beings or some sort of being knock on their windows at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
They felt people throw stones onto their tents.
Right.
It's certainly not me. Why is it elusive? The reason it's elusive is this. We have to warm ourselves up to contact, whether it's galactic beings, whether it's Sasquatch, Tolaton. We have to warm ourselves up slowly in our dream times, in our meditations, in very brief sightings, because it's too much for our nervous systems, too much for our physical bodies to take the shock of these experiences. So with all of the disclosure that's happening upon the planet, with all of the sightings, this has to be done sometimes very gently, here and there, incrementally, to warm our physical experiences up to having these physical sightings, because the actual idea of seeing a galactic being, for example, in right in front of you, most people, it would blow their physical bodies completely apart.
Now, I want the audience to know, Clyde Lewis, one of our radio host partners out there, and great friend of the show and great friend of mine, last year had his sighting of Bigfoot, Sasquatch, they call it baby Bigfoot, exactly where Lorcan had his sighting. And what's interesting here, Lorcan, you didn't know about this until I told you about it. But isn't that very, very strange? You had no idea that that famous sighting happened at this exact spot.
I think, 10 feet away from where I had it? 10 feet. I did hear about it, and the fact that it was in that particular location, I was just thinking about the fact that it was in the driveway, the entrance where you roll out the red carpet.
Right. Right.
And an entrance in the driveway.
Now, what is it about that, probably even that particular spot, because there has been a few sightings right there. Is there, without reaching, is there some kind of dimensional portal, vortex, something where they are able to come and go as they please?
Now, it is really up to the individuals that they're interacting with.
Right.
As their message said, they can lower themselves into densities, and human beings can also raise themselves into densities, into frequencies.
Right.
So there's always at least somebody who's having some sort of effect on their consciousness. Now, the entire ranch, we have people there during the conference speaking about extraordinary things. We have open people there. We have people having multiple sightings of different UFO crafts, whatever you want to call them, in the sky every night. It is a container, a bubble reality, a zone of amplified consciousness. A lot of the time, because of the information that's coming through human beings, because of the curiosity, because of the openness,
right,
creates an environment where that is much more possible to happen, as opposed to necessarily the streets of New York at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Now, this the Tolaton, the name that you were given, is this the first time that you have mentioned this publicly now on Coast?
It is, and I've been wondering if anybody else, you know, not to be, you know, some reporter giving a groundbreaking interview, but I was wondering if this had come through anybody else. So any of the listeners out there, if any of you have heard the expression Tolaton, I'd be fascinated to hear it. It resonates so deeply within me. And I think of toll, total, tall. It sounds like the whole thing to me. Tolaton.
Yeah, the total. The wholeness. And the reason I need everybody to kind of write down this moment, right? It's 11:28 p.m. on Friday night, on July 28th. But Tolaton, because if you have heard it, maybe even in a dream, or if it has come to you in any way, please let us know. Let us know on Twitter at J Church Radio. Let us know. You can contact Lorcan through his Facebook page, which is up on Coast to Coast. You can click on his name right there, and it'll take you over to his fan page. But we need to know. This is Coast to Coast AM. We're going to take some of your phone calls next. All right, welcome back. Have you figured out the bumper music yet? Yeah, I'm waiting for your comments. They're heating up a little bit. But I think tonight, it'll surprise you. Our guest tonight is Lorcan O'Toole. Now, remember, Tolaton. Tolaton. You'll remember this day for a long time. And more with Lorcan. Your phone calls, because it's Friday night, are next. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George Norrie tonight. It is Friday. And Lorcan, this is what is great. It's the first time you've been on the show with us. I'm enjoying all of it. But you get the full experience tonight. We're going to go to open lines right now. You ready?
I am indeed.
All right, let's go to Wild Card. Let's go to JD in Naptown, Indianapolis. JD, you're up first on Coast. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Church, for taking my call. And a question for your guest there, Mr. O'Toole.
Hello, JD.
Hi, Mr. O'Toole. You mentioned something about an awakening in the year 2012, and I was wondering if you could expand on that.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, an awakening is not necessarily an instantaneous thing. It is a constant integration experience that happens over a period of time. However, I had a bit of a supernova leap into a deeper level of my own soul, you could say, which was achieved by a telepathic, energetic communication and connection from a future incarnation of my own soul that contacted me energetically, allowed me to feel their energy, and also the energy of my own, what was termed higher self-consciousness. And to be completely clear, what I would say awakening is to be completely consciously aware that you are Creator Source itself, and that you're also a part of Creator Source itself. And so for me, the experience of awakening was what people would term self-realization. And through a lot of different teachers and experiences that I had in a short period of time, I was reminded that the true nature of who all of us are is Source, is pure conscious awareness. And I began to have very powerful, heart-centered, full-body feelings of this, experiences of the truth of this in my heart, which is what I would say to people when I ask, does it resonate with you? Resonating for me is when I feel in my heart center this powerful level of joy, of peace, of clarity. And so the awakening experience, let's call it the beginning of my awakening experience, happened then, and it happened through a plethora of different avenues and ways. Does that lend any information to you, brother?
Yeah, absolutely. JD, thank you for that. And I also wanted to ask for JD, great phone call, JD. 2012, I mean, that's the magic number for so much of this. Do you think that that was tied in with your awakening?
Now, from my understanding, the awakening, the experience that's happening on the planet Earth for many people is being catalyzed by what is known as photonic light.
Right.
That is coming from what is known as the great or the grand central sun.
Right.
And the Earth and the solar ring is moving into this area of space where this photonic light belt is. And in 1987, it really began to touch down on Earth. 2012 marked the apex of this energetic dimensional shift, and it's going to go on for another, gosh, 15 or so years. And it was right at the height of that particular time. I hadn't really awakened, I didn't at all, even though I had curiosities. And what also happened was in May of 2012, the Earth was in alignment, a very strong connection with what's known as the Pleiadian star system. And that is actually where my future incarnation, whose name is Messina, M-E-S-S-I-N-A, currently lives.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. So much stuff went down in 2012. There was all of the, you know, the fear stuff, and it was going to be the end of everything. But then there was others out there, like John Major Jenkins, that were merely stating, this is the peak, and we are entering another age. This is another form of enlightenment. You know, let's not freak out here. This is actually a good thing. And it sounds like that's exactly what happened with you. Let's go to wild card, Sonny in Peoria, Illinois. Sonny, you're up next on Coast. Welcome.
Thank you very much for taking my call. It's back to Bigfoot, and I agree with Mr. O'Toole and a lot of things he said, which I really hadn't thought about, but I do agree with. I'm 6 years old, but I had two sightings, so I'd like to hurry up and get to them so I can get them into them both, because they're related. One, when I was 12 years old in 1969, I had no preconceived idea of what a Bigfoot was. And me and my three brothers, we had a creek that we hung out in on the bridge. We looked up in the tree 100 foot away, and there was about a 5 foot hairy creature in the tree, swinging back and forth.
Wow. And what was the second experience, Sonny?
Second experience, I was 16 years old, and I went to, I was at a lake camping out, walking around the road, and we heard something, me and my cousin heard something falling us about 30 foot out in the woods, really big, snapping a lot of twigs, you know, taking small trees down, whatever. We said, is that a deer? And I go, this deer is the biggest one that the world ever saw.
Right.
And then we stopped several times. It stopped and followed us. And then the final time we stopped, it goes whoop like that.
Wow.
As fast as we could. And I think it was the same Bigfoot, and it recognized me, because finished the other story first. I started getting a feeling of intense terror all of a sudden out of nowhere. And I told my wife, we got to go. We have to go right now or something terrible's going to happen. And this is about a 100-foot hill we had to go up. We got close to the top. My brother all of a sudden started screaming, go, go, go. There's a man chasing us. There's a man chasing us. And I looked back. I was kidding. The total look of terror on his face was real. We got home, which was about a half mile up the road. And I said, well, there's someone chasing. He goes, well, it looked like a man, but it was big and hairy.
Wow, that's a great story. And Sonny, thank you for the phone call.
Thank you, Sonny.
Yeah, pretty interesting there, Lorcan. You got the wuh.
But, yeah, just... in this case, and I have to say, just to qualify for that gentleman, another experience I had one day later after the experience I had on the ranch was I was right next to the main house, and I was outside having a breath of fresh air, and I heard this rustling in a tree. And I thought, oh, God, not again.
Right.
Of course it's not. And I carried on just standing there and looking at my phone. And then I heard from right up in the top of the tree, ooh, 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 like an ape, like a gorilla. It obviously wasn't a gorilla. So I thought this must be one of the juvenile, really small ones. And maybe we're both crazy, or maybe that was the same kind of being that we heard. So I think that they come in the trees as well. There's elders, there's juveniles, there's all sorts of different shapes and sizes from my and many other people's understanding.
I can only imagine now you walking around in the woods, your head's on a swivel.
Brother, I ended up locking my room at the ranch a number of times. I would feel them watching me, and there is a sense of dread, not because of the beings, but it's something that comes up in the subconscious about fear of the unknown.
Of course.
And it's very understandable, but it's not the essence of these beings. It's actually us being afraid of ourselves.
Let's go to wild card, Anthony. Let's go out west. Anthony in Sacramento. Anthony, you're up next on Coast. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much, guys. I had an encounter. An actual physical encounter back in 1977. I was living up in the woods, and I had a hammock stretched out in the trees, and every night, middle of the night, you kind of reach up and grab and pull yourself, straighten yourself up in the hammock, and as I reached up, this thing grabbed my hands, and then as I looked up, usually I could see the stars. I had nothing but a hairy creature standing over me. And probably one of the most frightening things I'd ever had happen in my life. And then I had a second encounter about 5 years ago up in Shasta County. And this sounds funny, but I had actually, we had eye contact with each other. And it was almost like he gave me a thumbs up and turned away.
Oh, interesting. Well, Anthony, let me ask you this before we jump out of here.
Yeah.
Anything resonate with you with Lorcan's experience? Any sounds? Any fear? Were you happy? Was it cool? Were there any warnings? And what about the shape of the neck and the head?
All I seen was a big hairy object, you know, both times. The one over me was more like a shadow because it was blocking everything.
Were you ever scared?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Completely. The other one, though, when I seen him up in Shasta County, it was kind of a relief feeling. We looked at each other and it was almost like he nodded and gave me the thumbs up, you know, but it's changed my life from the first experience and working through. It has changed my life considerably on a lot of views
right. That
I used to have. My views have changed, and I see people for the better than for the worst. And I really, you know, I'm into. I'm a gatherer, you know. I like to go out in the woods and gather up different things, and the experience enlightened me.
Are you okay with it today?
Oh, I'm waiting for the next experience to happen.
That's what I'm talking about. Thank you for the phone call, Anthony.
Yeah. Thank you very much for. I've been trying to get this through for years.
Well, there you go.
Thank you, Anthony.
Absolutely was meant to be. Thank you so much. You know, I'm still waiting for my first encounter, Lorcan, as you know.
Maybe you've already had it, my friend, and you just don't remember.
Well, you know, my thing is, and I'll get to the calls here in just a second. My thing, I'm still on the fence. I'm leaning one way, right? I'm leaning one, and I'm okay with that. But just like, you know, with UFOs and sightings, I've had, you know, I know what's going on there. I've had my share of sightings. I haven't had that definitive Bigfoot or Sasquatch moment that has caused me to back up and, you know, come on the air and share it with everybody. And you know what's funny? I missed it by 2 hours that night. You and I said good night. And had we just stuck it out for a little while longer, it would be a different show tonight for sure. Let's go out east. Let's go to Joe in Long Island. Joe, you're up next on Coast.
Walken, I mainly wanted to ask you about developing tools and techniques for the meditation you're describing, or enhanced meditation. And then also, what's the most mysterious landscapes you've encountered in your travels? And did you ever talk to Sophia Loren?
Okay. All good questions, Joe. Thank you.
I was too young to speak to Sophia Loren, but my father was very, very good friends with her, and they used to play horrendous amounts of poker and get up to all sorts of no good, and he loved her very dearly, and they had a good old laugh together, always spoke of her fondly. In terms of mysterious landscapes, I would say, first of all, Ireland. 100%. Now, not necessarily the most foreign sounding, but the ancientness, the mysticalness, the light, the history, unknown and otherwise, of Ireland has extremely beautiful, mysterious quality, almost unparalleled. And I've been to Bali, and Bali was extremely beautiful and mysterious, and many other places. But I'm called to say Ireland right at this moment, because there's something about the land there that it may not be very foreign or seemingly mysterious, but there's so much in the unseen there that for me that's got to be up there.
Just say Nepal for me one more time.
Nepal.
Oh, you say it so well. Okay, let's stay west of the Rockies. Monique in Sunland, right up the street from the studios here. Monique, you're up next on Coast.
Yes, and where E.T. was filmed, in Sunland, Tahunga. You can see E.T.'s home. Nice to meet you, Lorcan, and I'm also a water sign, a devil water sign. I wanted to know, do you see master and angel numbers? Because I had an awakening back in May of 2001 in New York, and I had been seeing them for about 5 years, but that particular week, I had 6 mental telepathic experiences. I became a vegetarian instantly. But I've had these numbers happen
Yes. For
like 21 years now. And I think that there is a growing community that are seeing them, especially the 1111.
I see 111. If I see, I'll wake up at 111. I'll look at the clock, my cell phone, 11:11. You know, it's crazy now. How about you, Lorcan?
Well, again, this is fascinating. And my dear mother is coming back into the field, because about a month ago or 2 months ago, she called me and she sounded kind of frantic. She was like, Lorcan, I keep on seeing on the phone and on the TV and on the radio 11111 or 222 or 333. What is going on? And she was a bit afraid. And I was overjoyed, because I understand what's happening when people are seeing these. Obviously, the number 111, if you go to my Lorcan O'Toole fan page on Facebook, is Lorcan 1111 for that reason.
Isn't that kind of strange that she just brought that up when that was just created?
It was just created. And the 111, remember, one, unity, one, all is in one with everything. The one is in all things. It's this gateway of the understanding of unity,
right,
and of who we truly are, who you truly are, Monique. And these reflections of the synchronicity of these master numbers is your own masterhood coming to knock on your door to remind you who you are.
It is a confirmation that you are in alignment. It is a confirmation that you are coming closer and closer to your own core frequency, and that you are matching the frequency of this awakening consciousness. So I congratulate you on that indeed, and also my lovely mother, who's having the same experience.
Yeah, and thank you for the phone call, Monique. 1111. For you, you just created your Facebook fan page, Lorcan1111. Why did you choose that number?
Well, it just popped into my heart.
Right.
It's like the Tolatan communication.
Right.
It's not like, oh, here's my birthday, or look how special I am. I'm nothing but a reflection of the unity and the oneness that we all are. So 1111 for me is just a way of saying that's who I'm working for.
Now, I want to thank you. Just an excellent, excellent conversation tonight, and I can't wait to get you back on the show, and we'll do that as soon as possible. We've got to run in about 30 seconds. You're shooting right now. When can we see something?
I'm filming a film series for the last 2 years. I'm in my third year right now, all around the world, almost every continent, all the PowerPoints and chakras. It is coming out. I'm not going to mention the name, but it will be available in about a year and a half to 2 years in a 13-part episode film series about all the subjects that we're talking about, the awakening, time travel, galactic beings, the unseen realms, all of this awakening in this wonderful film series and adventure that I'm on. At the moment.
Lorcan O'Toole, you're the best, my friend.
God,
everybody,
you
just go to his Facebook page. You can do that right there at Coast to Coast. He'll keep you updated. Lorcan O'Toole, it's Friday night. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Your phone calls next.